Brother Deutsch's class, he's teaching, we kind of call it a new converts class, but it's not necessarily new converts. It's teaching you through the Bible. It's about a 12-week series where you just kind of bring you up to speed with everybody. You know, if you haven't been in church or in and around, it's a pretty neat series to go through. And then, of course, Miss Open Hour's class. Go ahead. All right. Well, it wasn't as bad of an exodus as I thought it was going to be. Makes me feel a little better. Anytime the preacher comes to me and says, hey, we're going to do I know it's going to do something to my class. I just know. Studying the book of Mark, chapter 4, is where we finished off last week. I kind of got rushed a little bit at the end of last week. Mark chapter 4. We see where Jesus has just given us one of many parables, the parable of the mustard seed. And then he gets done teaching and he says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And that's where we see him rebuke the winds and tell the water to peace be still. And one of my favorite, if not favorite, miracles that he performed. I don't think that we look at the magnitude of what happened there. I mean, again, a miracle of even the elements of nature obeying him. And the things that happened that transpired instantly just really amazes me. His apostles were in the ship with him. We'll discuss that in depth here in a minute. But they were afraid of their surroundings and the things that the natural forces of this world were doing to them. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and told the seas to be still. And they weren't afraid of the elements anymore. They were afraid of him. That just amazes me that now their fear had went from the natural causes around them to, wow, who are we here with? And there was fear with them. So after we pray, the end of Mark chapter 4, and we'll discuss chapter 5 as we start there. Father, thank you again for this time that we could come in your house. Lord, thank you for my mom and, Lord, for all the moms here today. And, Lord, the moms that have gone on, Lord, that we honor and think about today, Lord, we thank you for them. And Father, again, help us to honor our parents, Lord. Lord, bless us, Lord. That's your first commandment with promise, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, just bless the reading of your word now, Father. I pray for all those who come in your house today that, Lord, they'd be given the gospel presentation, that they'd respond favorably. Lord, be with all the Sunday school teachers, Lord, as they prepared. Lord, be with the Flanagans, Lord, and our services to follow. In Christ's name, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 33. And the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. So they're on one side of Lake Galilee, and they begin to go to the other side at even. And again, as I told you last week, that these tempests would come upon the lake pretty suddenly because of the mountain range that they set down in. And, you know, they didn't have the weather forecasting that we have today. They didn't know or see what was on the other side. They couldn't, you know, get up there and see that here it comes. Well, they would just take out across the sea, not knowing, you know, and they get out there and here it comes over the top. But he says, let us go. And it's at night time, so they start to go over. And it says, let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other little ships. I've heard Brother Jernigan preach on this before about the other little ships. And sometimes we don't think about those. But they went through the same effects as the ship of the apostles were in. They were out there with them and were under the same natural causes and effects that were going on. But there's some reason why they are mentioned. One of the issues is, having Christ in your boat and going through the storm, and not having Him in your boat going through the storm. I couldn't imagine it. I can't imagine, people that call me or say, "Hey, we're going through such and such." Man, how do you do that without God in your life, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, without a church family? Someone to go through it with you, someone to pray with you and for you, and how do you? I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it. The things that we go through without having that hope that all things are going to work to good. If we don't have that hope, we're sitting there without Jesus Christ. You're sitting there not knowing that everything's going to be okay. When's it all going to end? When's it, bachelors, y'all know at some time it's all going to end. You're going to look back and go, God, this is all God's time. God's, God's infinite wisdom. He used us to go through it. And probably was a witness to somebody else and had nothing to do with them. I've tried to teach my kids that sometimes we go through things that don't have anything to do with us at all. God's dealing with somebody else that's watching us. We need to beware of our testimony. If we throw our hands up and say, "Well, it's over with, I'm in this situation," someone else is watching us. If you do the right thing and say, God's in control. God hadn't turned His back. God's not looked away. As Elijah said, our God's not asleep. He didn't go on vacation. He still got His hand right upon us. And I don't want to be anywhere else but in the will of God. Wherever He wants me to go, whatever He wants to take me through, is I want to be in the will of God. Verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." I want you to notice one thing here. There's a difference in what's going on with the sea and what's going on with the wind. The wind is causing the sea to do what it's doing. There's two different things going on here. If we look in the latter verses coming up, it says that He rebuked the wind and He spoke to the sea. See, the sea was doing what the wind was causing it to do. He says in verse 37, it says, a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. So the waves was just responding to what the wind was doing. Now, we really don't understand how it all works anyway. Sometimes I think the weather forecasters could do better by flipping a coin, honestly. I think they're getting a little bit better feel for it. They've got the computer-generated deals now that they can say it should be doing this. I'm glad that everybody else is getting worn out on global warming and that's kind of phasing out. They've only kept temperatures for 100 years. And we look at this little slice in time and say, "Oh my gosh, the sky's falling." No, we have no idea. They didn't have any idea back then, and we really don't today. But understand that the things that we're dealing with, the wind that they didn't understand about, and we really don't today, is the high and low pressures, the heat of the day or the cool of the day, and what causes it. I know. I'm involved in several outdoor events. We just had one yesterday, and I begin to watch the weather about 10 days out. How are we going to be? And it's always, "Hey, if it heats up real, real hot today, be careful of tonight or tomorrow because of the heat effects on it and stuff." So they really didn't have an understanding of that, the forces of it all, but Jesus did. He created all that. He created what makes it all work. It says in verse 38, it says, "And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake Him and say unto Him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? We could stay here for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, you can't hardly blame them for their terror. The boat's getting full of water. It's about to sink. It's night. You know, probably can't see where they're at. They're in fear for their lives. You notice here that they didn't mention Him. Do you not care that we die? Do you not care that all of us are, you know, do you not care? It's that selfish deal again. You know, they got in the ship with Jesus Christ. So much for that prosperity gospel that's out there. You know, you get saved, you'll have wealth, health, and happiness, and all that. That's never promised to us. You know, here's the apostles. They got the Lord Jesus Christ in the ship with them. And they went through the storm. I mean, they absolutely went through the storm. He doesn't ever promise to protect us from the storm. He just promises us to go through it with us. He's there. They looked at Him and said, "Hey, you're in this with us. Wake up. You're not aware of what's going on." Whether He was asleep or awake, He was aware of what was going on. The test here is to the apostles. He asked them, "Where's your faith at? Where is your faith? Do you believe that I'm who I say I am? If you do, then there wouldn't be any mistake in their faith. There wouldn't be any of that if they believed He's who He said He was." So the test is there for the apostles. This high pressure, low pressure stuff that deals with the winds and the atmospheric pressures. Look with me to Revelation chapter 7. This fascinated me at one time, and I tried to study a little on it. I think what happens to us a lot is we try and put all the historical content in our short period of life span here today. Don't we? I mean, you know, my kids have asked, you know, why do we have tornadoes? You know, is that... We have tornadoes because of the fall of man. Not because of us today. That took place a long time ago, and now this world is in chaos. It's in chaos because of the fall of man. Look at Revelation chapter 7 says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So there's some, and again, this is almost like the weather. We don't understand all the power and spiritual things that go on out there. The Old Testament teaches in a couple of the prophetic books that the spiritual things that we don't see are set up in hierarchies and almost regions, if you will. That there are certain areas that certain demons of Satan have control over or over a certain area. We're going to see that here in chapter 5 where it really comes into play. Look back over, if you will, in Mark. Verse 38 says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, saying unto him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." There was a force behind that wind that he was dealing with. Those howls of the wind were probably satanic things trying to reach his demise. So he rebukes the wind. You stop that. Stop your blowing. Because you're causing the sea to put water in the ship that's causing us to sink. So he rebuked the wind. The wind was causing the problem. He told the sea, peace, be still. I said that last week that this peace really just overwhelms my mind of each wave, each particle of water jockeying for their position and crashing against each other and just total chaos, trying to seek what level they're supposed to be at. And he says, peace. Everybody just get where you're supposed to be. And what happens when everybody gets where they're supposed to be? It's just smooth, total peace. He says, peace, be still. We've heard that before. God told Moses, stand still and see that I'm God. He told the elements, stand still and see that I am God. Jesus Christ was God and He is God. He says, be still. God told Moses, put your feet in one spot and be still and I'll show you who I am. Jesus Christ says, peace be still, and the elements respond to Him. Now remember, the apostles were afraid for their lives. The boat was filling up with water. They saw their circumstances. It didn't look good. Honestly, our circumstances a lot of times don't look good. And don't we all try and get to the end of it and go, okay, God's going to do this and I'm going to get out of it and I'll get this and ooh, ooh, happy day. Don't we all do that? You know why? Because we have faith in God. The apostles said, get him up. We're going to die if he doesn't do something. Now, I don't think they expected the response he had. I just think they were trying to huddle around whatever comfort they could get to. I don't think they ever in their minds thought he was going to stand up and tell the wind to stop blowing and the sea to stop moving. I don't think it did because it scared the bejeebers out of them. All they wanted was, you know, can you slow it down a little bit or can you kind of get us over close enough to the shore we can swim and save ourselves? But wouldn't it be better if he just stood up and said, peace be still? Wouldn't that be the better way? He says, verse 40, he said, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Not a little faith, but you don't have any faith. Man, here's guys that was in the same vehicle he was in. They kind of knew him. They had seen the miracles he had done. They just heard his teaching. And he said, man, y'all don't have any faith at all. I'm right here with you. I know it looks bad. I know it looks like there's no way out, but I'm right here. Peace. That's what it's about, is entering into God's peace. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Now, if you go back up there a few verses, they were afraid for their lives. Carest not that we perish? They were afraid for their lives. Now it says, they feared exceedingly. That means more than what it was. They were afraid for their lives before. Now they're even scared more. I tell you, they didn't expect him to get up off the back, step down into the water, and rebuke nature. They didn't expect that. I guarantee you it would freak us out too. Us with little faith. You know? Even us with little faith. Sometimes when we're in those ships and the storms are happening and God does something, it kind of freaks us out, doesn't it? Now we all want to step up and go, I knew that was coming. Just like the apostle. I knew he was going to get up and stop all that. I knew that. But we know because we have faith. You know? And sometimes all we can say is, praise God, man. Isn't that, I didn't see that coming. Praise God. Isn't that neat, you know? says they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." You know what confused them? He couldn't get his own kind to obey him. He can't get us to obey him. But all the other, you understand, he created everything. And the only thing that doesn't obey him is us. Everything else obeys him. You know, in Genesis, God gave 10 commandments. He said, "Let there be light," and it happened. He said, "Let there be a firmament," it happened. Everything obeyed him. And then when they were in the wilderness, he gave 10 more commandments. And James said, "We've broken them all. We break every one of them." We're the only thing he created that doesn't obey him. You want to know why they were feared exceedingly? I think they realized it. That they didn't obey him either. They said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That just takes me back every time. That he would stand up and say, "You know what? I'm in control of this. I'm in control of y'all's ordeal. I control the wind." He controls the forces behind the wind that we don't even see. That's what happened. There were forces pushing that wind. There were forces trying to make something chaotic happen there. He rebuked the wind and the powers behind the wind to stop that. Again, the sea was kind of minding its own business, if you will. He told it, "Peace, be still." Faith and fear cancel out each other. If you've got fear in your life, Jesus says here, how is it that you have no faith? You say, "Well, you can have fear and have faith." No, you can't. If you've got faith, there's no fear. My only example that I have personally that I know of is there is no fear in love. My only example, I rode bucking bulls for 32 years. I respected the fire out of them, but I'm not afraid of man or beast. I have faith in my God. I didn't have no fear. I wouldn't have any fear today. I'd be stupid, but I wouldn't have any fear today. I don't need amens on that. I don't have any fear today. You know, I'm not afraid to die. My state before God is settled. Before eternity passed. My account is settled. There's been a price paid for my redemption. I'm saved forever. That never enters my mind. Am I going to get up there and, you know, or when the rapture happens, are all y'all going to leave and I'm going to be left here? Never, no. I'm going to be right dead even with all of y'all. You know? No pun on the dead even, but I'll be right even with y'all. But fear, or faith, cancels out fear. If you have fear, you don't have faith. If you have faith, you don't have any fear. You know? Now, we have worry. I told y'all last week, what Satan does is he tries to focus your mind on your situation here. But that's not where our thoughts are supposed to be. Our thoughts are supposed to be in heaven, in heavenly places. But what he tries to do is focus our thoughts on what's going on here. And we realize this is just such a, not even a blip on the radar scale of our time here. Because we don't understand eternity. We just go, "Well, it's forever and ever and ever." No, it's longer than that. No, it's even longer than that. And it's longer than even that. And I could never finish because it's longer than that. And it's longer than that. So, we don't understand that. Satan tries to make us focus on the things that we got going on here because that's where our defeat is. See, his defeat is when we go to heaven. Because we're God's children, not his. were born His. But when we're born again, we become God's children. Faith always has an object. I thought this was really good. Faith always has an object. We have our faith in someone or something. Right? One example was a pilot. I thought of Phil. How would y'all like to put your faith in Phil? We do every time you get in a plane with him. Yeah? Every time Friday or whenever it was, you go to the bank and you put your money in the bank, you have faith in the bank. Phil laughed at that. Yeah. He's back on the pilot deal, okay, but the bank he's a little shaky on. We put our faith in that. We just give them our money, right? Here, y'all go make some money with this and charge me for doing it. Thank you. Boy, ain't America great? They do it because we allow them to, y'all. That's just how that works. But we have our faith in something. Some of us put our faith in money. Money's a terrible measuring stick. Terrible, terrible measuring stick. I can say that because I don't have any. If I had some, I'd say, boy, money a good measuring stick. It's a terrible measuring stick for happiness. Man, it's just not. But some of us put our faith in money. No one wants to hear that they don't have any faith in someone. You know, if you were to tell me, hey, I don't have any faith in you in this area or that area, that hurts. How do you think God feels when we don't have faith in Him? Jesus Christ said right there, how is it that you have no faith? Do you not believe I'm who I said I am? He called 12 men. He had them riding around with Him. They get in a jam. And He says, man, what is going on? Do you not believe who I am? I think they had feared exceedingly for a multitude of reasons. Wow, he's right. We didn't have our, you know. All they should have said, well, sure don't look good. Sure don't look good, but God's with us. We're to say that every day. Man, it sure don't look good, but I know one thing, God's with me. And I don't have to worry about nothing else. I can look at my circumstances and say, well, it sure don't look good right now. But God's with me, and I know that much. And that's where my faith lies. If I have faith, that's going to cancel out all my fear. Now, it may not turn out like we want it to, but that's where we pray, not my will, but thy will. And then you don't ever have a problem with anything. And if you just say, thy will, okay, God, here we are. You know, now things go to happening bad, and you go, man, am I in the will of God? Am I doing, you know? And we should. We should look around and say, hey, am I doing what God would have me to do? If in your heart you say, I'm right where God wants me to be, happy am I. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Now, again, I can say that up here today, but, you know, and I tell people that I counsel with when they lose loved ones. Man, I can tell you right now, you know, they're in a better place. And, you know, yeah, we can sorrow, but man, be happy. But when it's my turn in the barrel, y'all better come to me and tell me the same stuff I was telling y'all. Because I'm going to be like y'all were, you know. But faith will cancel out all your fears. If you have faith, and again, faith is a growing thing, okay? If you don't grow spiritually in the Word of God, your faith can't grow. You know, you can be saved and have faith that Jesus Christ took your place. But until you grow, your walk here on this earth is going to be stumbles. You're just going to stumble through until your faith grows stronger and stronger in God's with us. You can wake Him up if you want to. The man God that was with them. Our God doesn't sleep. But they said, hey, get up, we're all going to die here. He said, man, you guys don't have any faith. We don't need to be caught in that. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, Our Savior deals with three of our greatest terrors that we face today. Mankind faces demons, disease, and death. That's our three greatest fears. We hear about and we read about in the Bible people being, you know, taken by demonic spirits. That still happens today, y'all. Still happens. People get into occults, drug use, anything that alters your mind to allow them a chance to get in. I spent all of my preteen, teenage, and adult life around the drug scene. Standing here today in front of God and all y'all, never done a drug a day in my life. I'm hard-pressed to take an aspirin. Now, I did eat a lot of ibuprofens at one time by the bottle as I got older in my career. That sure helped. Never smoked a marijuana cigarette, never took anything in my life, ever to this day. Didn't ever have to. I believe that you have a spiritual void in your life and you try as mankind to fill that void. I never had that void in my life. I had the Spirit of God indwelling in me and never had that. I had it all around me. I mean, close to me. Never had the desire. Never said, you know what, let me see how that is. And I'm telling you that the demonic spirits can still come into people when they, again, get into the occults and the things that open the mind and allow them to come in. We think it's something that we just, you know, ghost stories, if you will. But no, it's real. People are still possessed by demonic spirits today. Talk to some missionaries sometime that go to them third world countries or the bush tribes and stuff and see that they haven't run into somebody that is like that we read about in the Scriptures. But these three things that we deal with, the demons that we just talked about, disease is always a big scare. Man, who don't get anything wrong with them instantly thinks, man, I got cancer. Instantly. You know, I got this. Oh, in your mind, you may not share that with somebody, but in your mind, you instantly think that. You know, I think we all do because, again, that's one of our biggest fears. And then death. Death is the biggest fear. Death is unknown. I mean, we don't have any documentation other than what God tells us what happens when we go through that threshold of death. We don't know. Honestly, we don't have all the things that we know. We know biblically, He tells us, here's the things that are going to take place. But, you know, you hear about going to the, you know, go to the light and all. I don't know. It's one of those things that we fear or one of the terrors. But in chapter 5, Jesus delivers a man who was possessed of demonic powers, heals a woman who had a disease, and brings a child back alive. Our Savior takes care of all those terrors. Yeah, He can do that. And He does that in chapter 5. The Old Testament in several places tells us about Satan's agents in the spirit world where they rule over designated territories. We know that they're the rulers of the darkness of this world, and they're the spiritual wickedness in high places. We know those verses, and we know that there are certain things when Jesus talks to the man possessed of the demons here. We're going to see some of that, and as he begins to say it, have that in mind. It's chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So we see this man possessed by these demonic spirits. They come into this area here, the Gadarenes, where the Jordan River dumps into the Sea of Galilee, and the cliffs are kind of close by, and the tombs are right there. Well, when they pull up in the ship and they get out, here comes this man. a wild man. It says that they tried to contain him. They tried to bind him up, even with chains, and couldn't get it done. You know, we always think in the physical realm of being powerful. The spiritual realm is much more powerful. They couldn't contain him with chains. Chances are he had on either ragged clothes or possibly no clothes at all. It says that every day he stood and cut himself with the rocks, and you know, he would scar up and then cut himself. And I mean, this guy was in bad, bad physical shape because of the torment that was going on in his body. He runs toward Jesus. Again, he made his home in the cemetery there and howled all the time. I mean, you know, it was that people wanted to avoid him. And a lot of times they could avoid him because they knew where he was because of him screaming and howling. I'm sure it was quite a spectacle. It wasn't one of those deals where the kids went up and said, "Hey, let's go look at the crazy man." They were afraid of him. You know, it wasn't one of those deals of, you know, "Let's go throw rocks at the crazy guy." No, they were very fearful of him. It says in verse 4, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. They tried several times to catch him and keep him contained and couldn't get it done. They finally, as long as he was in the cemetery, you know, leave him over there. You know, let him do whatever. They really had no control over him. Verse 5 says, and always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That's a confusing verse to me. Here's a guy with literally thousands of demons possessing his body. He sees the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his physical man runs to worship our Savior. He's got all these demonic spirits in him, yet his physical person wants to come to Jesus Christ. That's a picture of us today. That's the state that we're in physically. Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So the man runs up. I told you it was confusing to me. The man runs up to worship Christ, but the demonic spirits in him take over and begin to verbalize the things that they have. They've already asked him. They knew who he was. They said, don't torment us. Don't do anything to us that we don't want done. That would be torment to them. We're going to see here in a minute that we're going to see here next week that they even had to ask permission to leave out of that man to go into the swine. You know, it wasn't a deal where they could go and do whatever it was they wanted to do. It says he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So a legion in a Roman garrison could be up to 6,000. But here, the reason we say it's a couple of thousand, because here in a minute we see that they went into the swine. Now, it could have possibly been that three demonic spirits went into each swine. It was a crowded place. You can imagine the turmoil going on. You know, all the demons aren't going to be agreeing. You know, they're not going to be in harmony. They're in torment now. He says in verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Again, these regions that these demonic spirits had, they were really worried that Jesus was going to send them to the pits of hell. and they really didn't want to go there now. So they come up with another idea. And it says, now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here we are again, this man that tormented them day and night, fetters of chains on them. They were afraid of him. The guy gets saved, clothed in his right mind, and it scared them. You know, it scared them when they saw what Jesus Christ could do for someone. Man, what a great picture of a loving God. Here's this guy, clothed and sitting in his right mind. Man, what a change he went through. He seeked out. It says he ran to worship him. You know, it's a great thing to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. It's another thing to go and seek that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for all those who've come out. Father, I pray that your word would fall on fertile hearts. Lord, that seed would be planted. Lord, that it would grow and flourish. Lord, that again we'd do a great and mighty work for you. Lord, bless our services to follow. In Christ's name, amen.